no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a off.
It's supposed to be an interview.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What's going on, folks? Welcome back to the Beltway Golfer Podcast. This is episode 83. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. It's U.S. Open week down at Pinehurst next week, or I guess it's this week now. First time in a decade, U.S. Open, our national open, is heading back to the Sand Hills in North Carolina at Pinehurst number two. And we've got one of two golfers in the field from the DMV, and they both actually play out of the same club, Argyle Country Club. One of them's Denny McCarthy, who everyone around here certainly knows. We talk a little bit in our conversation. The second is a younger gentleman, Brian Kim. He's our guest today. Brian Kim got into the field by winning last year's U.S. Junior, the U.S. Junior Amateur down at Daniel Island in Charleston, South Carolina, which is arguably the biggest junior event that we have. Brian Kim won it at age 18. And so he is still a teenager and is in the field at the U.S. Open this week. He just finished up his freshman year at Duke playing golf, but he's from the DMV, played high school golf at Sherwood High School in Montgomery County, and is a member at Argyle Country Club. So exciting to have another up-and-coming big-time golfer from the DMV. It was great to get to know him a little bit, chat with him, and understand his mindset going into U.S. Open week. This podcast is getting published on the Sunday of U.S. Open week before everything gets started. Brian is already well-known in circles around the D.C. area in golf, and I'm sure he's just at the beginning of what will most likely be a stellar golf career. I don't have a lot else to share. I just want to jump into this. It's U.S. Open week. Super busy. Be sure to follow us on social, particularly on Instagram at Beltway Golfer. Go to our website, beltwaygolfer.com. Sign up for our newsletter there. Got some fun things in the works, but nothing to announce right now. Let's just jump into the conversation with Mr. Brian Kim and learn about his career and how he's getting ready for the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number two this week. Here it is, episode 83 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast. Mr. Brian Kim, enjoy. All right, we are back here on the Beltway Golfer Podcast with Mr. Brian Kim. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. So the timing for this podcast, you got a big week ahead of you. You are headed to the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number two next week. It's got to be pretty damn exciting.
Yes, sir. Yeah, really excited. I've just been sitting on it for the past 9 or so months, and now that it's here, I'm really excited, getting even more by the day.
They're awesome. So for those that don't know, I probably already did an intro here, but you won the 2023 U.S. Junior in Charleston, South Carolina. So that was, you said 9 months ago, that was last fall. Was that September, October, somewhere in that?
I guess a little less than nine. It was in July, end of July. So I guess it was 11 months ago now. My time frame is a little off.
And so I mean, well, let me start with this. Like, obviously the U.S. Open, you know, it's going to be the biggest tournament you're going to be playing to date. Was the U.S. Junior, was that the biggest event, let alone winning? Was that the biggest event you had played in to that point?
I had played in the U.S. Amateur a few times and played in the Western Am a few times before that, but obviously the U.S. Junior is not the biggest junior event in golf, so that had been like the biggest in terms of junior golf. Like that's where you circle your calendar, and that's what you're working toward as a junior golfer.
And so in July, so you just finished your freshman year at Duke. Do I have that right, or am I year off?
Yeah, that's correct. Got back home a few weeks ago.
Okay, cool. And so you've been playing on the Duke golf team all year. But I'm curious. So you, like you just said, you've been sitting on 11 months after that U.S. Junior win, knowing that you're playing in the U.S. Open this year. Did anything the last 11 months, knowing that, change in the way that you're playing golf or going about your day-to-day in your golf life?
Not really, but it would be like in the back of my mind, I guess, like when I'm practicing, like you have like a great opportunity this summer, so let's work hard. And it's not the end goal, but like it's a great opportunity to have, and hopefully take advantage of it and really, really enjoy it. So that's, I guess, in the back of my mind when I practice, but it wasn't like the only thing I was thinking about.
So I want to get into the U.S. Junior, but I want to hear first. So what does your week next week look like? When do you head down to Pinehurst?
I'm actually heading down in a couple of days. Going to get there early. They're nice enough to let me play the course like a few days before Monday of the U.S. Open. So going to get there a little early, practice, and then don't have much info on it yet, but I'll be practicing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe around with Denny McCarthy, who we both played Argyle Country Club, both grew up there. So, and he's been doing really well the past few years on the PGA Tour. So maybe play around with him and then just prepare, get a feel for the course. It'll be unlike anything I've ever seen. So just soak it all in.
So as he, you know, so you and Denny both, like you just said, you know, growing up playing at Argyle, both members at Argyle Country Club, has he kind of helped you prep for this at all beyond the potential of playing a practice round next week? Has he kind of mentored you a little bit?
I played with him a few weeks ago, actually, at Pinehurst, because Pinehurst is only like an hour away from Duke. So I drove down there one of the days and just booked a tee time. And then when I checked him in the pro shop, like the guy in the pro shop said, "You're playing with Denny McCarthy today," and like totally by chance.
What?
And then I texted Denny. I was like, I think I'm playing with you today. And then he was like, "Oh, really?" So we ended up playing around a few weeks ago.
Literally, yeah, just awesome. Booked a tee time like average Joe, and you just happened to be paired up with Denny McCarthy, who not only is a tour player, not only also playing in the U.S. Open, but is also a guy that you know from your home club. That was 100% coincidence.
Yeah. They were offering free practice rounds like whenever you wanted, like the USGA was, which was really nice of them. But yeah, it's just like we never even planned it out, and it happened to, we happened to play together that day. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So you've played the course. Did Duke play a tournament at Pinehurst number two, or you played it?
We did.
Pinehurst?
Yeah. Wake Forest hosted an event there earlier this year in March, and we got to play it. So
you've played the course a handful of times. You know, what are your thoughts on the course itself? And, you know, what do you have to, you know, what things about your game do you have to particularly focus on for next week?
Right. It's a unique track for sure, with the turtleback greens, and not your normal rust. It's wire grass and sand on the sides. So just, hitting it in the fairway, like all U.S. Opens, will be really key, staying out of the stand. And then just around the greens, you're going to miss a few greens, I'm sure. It'll be really firm. And, like only like 70% of the green is actually like, well, the ball will stay. So, just around the greens, getting up and down and, getting the ball on the green on your first chip will be.
Are there any particular holes at number two that you played that you're kind of like, I got to make sure I don't screw up that one, or I got to make sure I tackle that one a certain way?
There's a lot of tough holes out there. I mean, any hole is really tricky, but, there's a few greens that are really tricky that you got to hit in the right spot, but nothing in particular that really.
What that did during that round with Denny, did he share anything with you as far as prepping for a major, or, you know, just getting ready for the US Open?
No, not really. We talked about shots here and there, like maybe some possible pins, and we were actually playing with Derek, his caddy, that day, so like they were talking about it a little bit. I don't think they'd never seen the course before that point, though. So they were just picking apart a little bit. I pick their brain a little bit. Like I picked Denny's brain a little bit, but tried not to be too annoying, but, gave me some good advice on just like reading greens. And obviously he's a great putter, just like practice and whatnot. Nothing like particularly for, preparing for an open, but
That's kind of interesting that I wouldn't have guessed that, that Denny McCarthy hadn't seen Pinehurst number two before a few weeks ago.
Yeah, said he had watched it. I think in 2005 he might have drove down in the US Open, but he said he had never played it. Yeah, at all.
Interesting. In the US Junior at Daniels Island, right?
That's right.
Your caddy there was a gentleman who's actually been on this podcast before, Justin Nogay. He's also an Argyle guy, right? I'm trying to remember.
That's right. Yeah. He was the assistant pro when I first joined Argyle, just seven years ago now.
Okay. He's not caddying you for next week, is he?
He is. Yeah. Actually, it's
cool. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. How does that relationship work? I mean, he's doing his own thing. He's got his own business. You're golfing at Duke. How often do you guys get to get together and kind of, I mean, do you have much of a, obviously it was a huge success, winning the US Junior, and that's a 6-round tournament, 2 rounds of stroke play,
right?
Four rounds of match play. Have you guys done much player caddy rounds of golf since then?
No, we haven't done any at all, actually, but, I mean, we're busy. He's in South Carolina, not Duke. But like when I come back home to Argyle and he's in town, like we'll talk to each other and we'll practice a little bit. But, before I went to college, he would give me some workouts to do, as he's a fitness guy. So, but like we'll keep in touch for sure, but it's hard getting to see him, but I was successful with him last year. So decided, we could do it again.
So are you going down to Pinehurst? Like, will family join you? Are you going with an entourage, or is it just you and Justin?
My family, my immediate family is going to come support me. My dad usually comes to watch my events, but, I think my mom and my older sister is going to come as well. That'll be great having them out there.
Yeah. So who got you, was your dad that got you into golf, or what? Tell us how you got into golf. What's your background?
Yeah, it was actually my sister. She's 2 years older than me. We went to like this first tee camp when I was 11, and then at like the local Muni Northwest golf course, if any of you guys have heard of it.
Most of the people listening to know Northwest. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So we had like a first tee golf camp for about a week, 'cause my parents were dropping us off, going to work, and then my sister had already been to the camp before, I believe. And then that's where I really picked up the game. And she was better than me at the time, which I was not too pleased about. So, like, my goal was just to, like, start beating her or hit it better than her. And then eventually, like, a year later, we joined Argyle Country Club. We have a good junior membership, and I would play with her every day.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard about this kind of junior kind of players membership at Argyle that they use to really develop talent. Cause there's a lot of good young golfers that come out of Argyle. Is it the way they kind of structure that junior membership, play a big role in that?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I know Kevin Taylor and Brian Hogan, the professionals at Argyle, are like, they're big supporters of developing the game. And I guess like junior golf is where you start out. So they have a good junior program at Argyle. And like growing up past few years, like I would always have a guy to play with, or even a group of guys to play with, just compete and spend all day together, practice around. So, I guess just like having a group of guys to play with, is always good. Makes it a lot more fun, less of a grind.
Sure. And sorry if you already said this, but how old were you when you did that first tee camp at Northwest?
I was 11. Yeah. Going into sixth grade.
Okay. So that means you played golf for a total of 7 years before winning you were 18 when you won the US Junior, correct?
That's right.
So, I mean, it's kind of astonishing to go from not playing the game and then in 7 years win the US Junior. At what point in that 7 years did you go from, this is a hobby to wait a second, I'm pretty freaking good?
Right. So actually my main, I played a good bit of sports growing up, just like did a little bit of everything. But I think I won the Maryland Junior, at Argyle Country Club at the home course when I was 14 in 2019. And after I did that, because there were good players in the field, I realized this is something I can really do, and I really like it, and I'm pretty good at it. I happen to be good at it, so I figured I would love to play in college and maybe turn pro after that at the time. So that's when I started really playing competitively and took it more seriously.
Got it. That's wild. Three years already winning some big junior tournaments. Did you, what about coaching? I know, do you still work? At what point you were working with Bernie Najjar? Are you still working? Was he your coach kind of, when did you start working with him?
I started working with him, when I was 15. So spring of 2021. So it's been about 3 years now, a little over 3 years. He's been great. Yeah, he really helped me develop into a much better golfer. Just really helped tighten up my game, that's for sure. Before then, I worked with a guy at Northwest Golf Course named Hong Tim, and we're still good friends to this day. But he just he helped me out. I would go to the range every day with him, and that's how I kind of picked up the game. After first tee.
That's cool. So, that's pretty impressive. Just how fast you got good. So when did the colleges start knocking on your door? Once they start seeing some of those, the Maryland junior win, or when does Duke, reach out?
Right. So NCAA guidelines say a college coach can't talk to you until June going into your junior year of high school. So when kids are around 16, that's when they can start talking to coaches. So I started talking to coaches then. And by then I'd won the junior, played some good events, finished solidly in a few junior events. So started talking to a few schools, and then later that year, reached out to Duke, and then really liked the coaches, and then took my visit, and that was the place I wanted to go.
There you go. How's the freshman year gone for you?
It's been great. Yeah. Met a lot of good people. Learned a lot of new things, in golf and in school, but and living on my own too, but it's been a lot of fun.
So the Duke team, I saw you guys made to regionals, but not quite the national tournament. Do I have that right?
Right. Yeah. We made it to regionals. We were seeded to make nationals. We definitely should have, but we just fell short at regionals, unfortunately. I wish we could have went to nationals in San Diego, but we'll be there the next 3 years. That's for sure.
I love it. And you're not the only guy from the DMV on the team, right? Do I have the right Kelly Chin? He's from, where is he from? Fairfax?
I know he's from Northern Virginia. He recently moved to Pinehurst, area, when he went to college. But yeah, he grew up in Northern Virginia. I know he played Army Navy growing up. So yeah, we're the two DMV guys on the team.
Got it. Okay. Very nice. Well, let's talk about, so last year a little bit, your US junior win. Was that your first attempt at the US junior, or had you played the tournament before?
It was actually my third attempt. Yeah. So I played it in 2021 at CCNC, and then 2022 at Bandon Dunes, and last year at Daniel Island Club.
Got it. For those that don't know, tell us a little bit about the US Junior, because I watched some of it on TV. I watched some highlights, after the fact. But I mean, it looks like such a grind. I mean, six rounds. So you got, what, two rounds of stroke play, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but two rounds of stroke play, and then you get into a bracket where you have essentially 4 days of match play, with the final being 36 holes. Is that right?
I think it might be six rounds of match play.
Oh, my God.
4-32, 16, 8, 4-2. Yeah, six rounds of match play.
So how many rounds of golf is that total?
That's eight. and then 10 including practice round.
In how many?
It's a long week. Yeah,
it's 8 and how many in 7 days?
Something like that. Yeah, it turned out to be 8 just because like we had some rain during my final math, but yeah, it was a long week.
Yeah. So I did reach out just via email. I had a little back and forth with Justin Nogueira, your caddy. And okay. One of the things that I didn't know, was that you had a quadruple bogey in the opening round. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The 12th hole at the Rawson course, low par 3, I think it was like 190 yards and, just put 2 quick balls in the water.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, just hit the same shot twice. And I was like under par at that point, but then quickly a few over after that. But yeah, that definitely sent me awake.
Do you remember what the score was that you needed to have to get into match play?
I think it was 1 over or maybe 2 over.
Got it.
Yeah, maybe 1 over.
And did you make that? With room to spare?
I made it. There was a playoff I'd either 1 or 2 over, and I made it 1 ahead of the playoff. Faithfully in, but it was definitely a stressful back 9 on the second round.
I can imagine. 8 rounds in 7 days with however many rounds, that is six rounds of match play, including 36 at the end. I mean, even going into your final, I mean, obviously it's such a huge tournament with so much in the line, so prestigious. I mean, this is an event that Tiger won 3 times, Spieth won twice, Duvall, you know, a huge list of other big time golfers, not to mention the fact that, you know, the winner gets in the US Open. But, you know, after whatever it is, 6 rounds in 6 days, and then it's just you and your opponent in the final with 36 holes. I mean, you had to have been exhausted going into that final day, were you not?
I was really excited, though, like it kind of took over any exhaustion I might have had. But I was sleeping pretty well. I was eating all right, so it wasn't too bad. But I just remember I was really excited to go play, and I know I've played some really good golf, and I always love just getting out there and playing some good golf. So I don't really remember too much. I remember after I finished the week, I was really tired. But like throughout the week, I was really excited to play, and that kind of took over any fatigue I might have had.
That match, I mean, it looked like it was a battle. I mean, you guys were tied with 2 holes to play, and
that's right.
And you came in, you birdied the last 2 to win the title, right?
I birdied 17, and then 18. I guess I birdied, but like he kind of struggled in the last hole, so I had like a 20-footer for birdie that I didn't have to putt. But I would have made it, I think. I was excited to hit the putt.
Justin also, you know, he said that your putting, especially through that week in match play, you know, maybe you start off slow, but your putting was just absolutely lights out. Is that, you know, when you think about your own game, I'm just curious if you were to describe your own game, like, you know, where your strong suits are, like, is putting, you know, is putting what you do best, or how would you describe your own golf game to someone who's new to it?
Okay. I'd say my driver and like my irons, I'm more of a ball striker. That's for sure. Hit a lot of greens, hit a lot of fairways. My putting, when I putt well, that's when I play my best, because my ball striking is always pretty solid. So when I putt well, I'll probably have a week like I did at the US Junior.
And I heard something about you've got multiple types of drives in your bag that you like to pull out and around. Can tell me about that?
That's right. So I have my normal draw, like a tight draw or a pretty straight shot. I hit it on most tee shots, but when it gets a little tight, I have this shot that I call the ding. It's just like a bullet drive, goes pretty low. I can cut it and I can draw it. I usually cut it, but it goes like 50 feet off the ground and stays in play for the most part. I'm like almost certain it'll find the fairway when I pull it out. So it's always a good shot to have when I need it.
Okay, so this is it's kind of like a little bit like a stinger with a driver. Where did you get the? How did you get the name Ding? Where how did you name that?
Okay, so I used to call it Dingling just because like me and my friends would get that it went dick height. We just called it that, and then I shortened it to the Ding. I don't know if you can keep that in there, but
we're absolutely keeping that in there.
All right, yeah.
Not that many people that listen to this. All right. That's not going to get to the Golf Channel. Don't worry.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's hilarious. So how often, like in any given round, will you pull that out?
If it's a tighter, like a little more uncomfortable tee shot, and I don't want the ball in the air as much as long, or if it's windy, a little into the winds, I'll usually pull that out. And on firm courses, it rolls out a good bit, so it almost goes as far as my normal drive. Okay. So I know like there's some tournaments like where I hit it off the tee like all the time.
I was going to say, I mean, a U.S. Open, the pressure of a U.S. Open in Pioneers number two, where you kind of got to get in the fairway and it's probably going to play fast and firm. Sounds like you might hit that a couple times.
Yeah. It might come in handy. That's for sure.
That's funny. What about, so what is your driver? Take us through your bag a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So play all ping clubs, play a ping G430 driver, and then play a ping 3-wood, ping irons, play blades from my 6 through pitching wedge, and then like player cavity irons in my 4 and 5 iron, ping wedges, and I play a Ben Nardi putter. I've been playing a Ben Nardi putter for the past year, so Titleist golf ball, nothing crazy.
Have you always been a ping guy, or is that relatively recently?
Yeah, for the past, like, I guess for the past 2.5 years, I've been ping. Used to play Titleist, but ping's been really good. They treated me great, and their clubs, their driver especially, like, it's unreal.
I love it. I have not hit that. I need to give it a try.
For sure.
It's interesting. The U.S. Open, the last time the U.S. Open was at Pinehurst. So you're 19 right now?
I am, yeah.
So, I mean, how much do you remember of the 2014 U.S. Open at Pinehurst?
I recently
You weren't even playing golf then.
Yeah, I didn't even know what golf was when that happened. So on, I can't. I think the first U.S. Open I watched was when DJ won at Oakmont. I think that was 2 years later. So, I can't say I watched the 2014 U.S. Open.
I mean, I tell you what, you're going to give a lot of people confidence, or even like other juniors or kids, the fact that you didn't even pick up a club until you're 11. I mean, there's so many kids. I mean, you hear stories about, you know, Tiger and Rory who, you know, had perfect swings at the age of 3 or something crazy. And here you are at age 11 and in the U.S. Open, just, you know, 7 or 8 years later is just astonishing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, have you watched highlights? Have you ever gone back, like even in the past 11 months and watched either the 2014 U.S. Open at Pinehurst or other events at Pinehurst?
Yeah, I've been watching the 2014 highlights for sure. There's like this post, like 24, like they post like for every open, just like, I don't know, like an hour video of the tournament. So I've watched that video. And then they have like the final round broadcast. I watched a little bit of that. So Martin Keimer just tore it apart. So that's what I'm hoping I can do. But it looked pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was only 3 players broke par.
That's right.
And he was obviously he won by whatever it was, 8 or 9 strokes. I can't remember. But you know, take his score out and the winning, you know, it would have been -1 or something, would have been the best score.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll see, but that's crazy exciting. What else? So not only did you pick up the game when you're 11, you're an Argyle guy, but you're also a Montgomery County public school guy. Played your high school golf at Sherwood, right?
That's right. Yeah. Just, I graduated from Sherwood last year and it was a good time.
I love it. I'm a Montgomery County public school guy myself, although many, 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 awesome. Many moons ago, Walter Johnson.
Okay.
Nice. So yeah. What was, you know, what was, Are you tearing apart Montgomery County high school golf, or what was the competition like there?
Right. So my freshman year, I played, and I had a few friends on the team that played at Argyle with me. So like we had a pretty decent team. We never won states, actually. And then I never won states either individually, which was the, I kind of wanted to do it just to say I did it, but I got second my senior and freshman year, but never quite got it done. But
still do states at University of Maryland's course?
They do. Yeah, that's right. And then we didn't have a season art my sophomore year. That was COVID. And then I played freshman, junior, senior year. Yeah.
That's interesting. So even in your sophomore, because it's interesting. So the sophomore to COVID, during COVID, you know, golf famously was like the one thing you could do.
Right.
But I guess I know a lot of athletes lost their sports years, but I guess it didn't. Didn't occur to me that golf was also one that people couldn't play.
I think Montgomery County Public Schools just shut down all the sports programs and whatnot.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. So you're at Duke. I'll ask some non-golf questions.
Okay.
You know, as a member of the golf team, have you been to a game at Cameron Indoor, and you know. Do you have to? Are people? They're still, the Cameron Crazies are still setting up tents. Did you do that? You haven't done that, have you?
No, I didn't. I didn't quite do that. We were traveling a little bit too much this spring, but before the UNC game every year, there's tenting for a few weeks. It's quite brutal, actually, because it's still pretty cold. But no, I did not do that. But I went to quite a few games. Maybe not quite a few. I went to like four or five games. Whenever I'm in town, I try to go to as many games as I can. So it's always a great time, and there's nothing like it in sports, I don't think at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you gotten any, you know, the Maryland Duke quote unquote rivalry isn't quite, you know, they're not even in the same conference anymore. But right. Did you have, you know, when you did choose Duke, did you get any kind of elbows in the side saying, you know, now you're the enemy kind of stuff with so many Maryland guys around here?
I definitely did. That's for sure. At Argonne, when I committed to Duke, I'll get a little shit here and there, but, and there's a lot of UVA guys at Argonne as well. So another ACC rival. But like everyone was pretty happy for me, which is great, but they would just give me a little, little trouble here and there just for Duke, but it was all good.
Not to look ahead. Obviously next week is, you know, I imagine the biggest week of your golf life, but if we're allowed to look past it, you know, what do you, aside from just playing Duke golf for the next 3 years, are there other events on your other big amateur events? Like, do you still try to play in the US Amateur? Like what other big things are on your calendar?
Right. This year I'm playing the Western Am and the US Am after taking a pretty light summer schedule, but just, playing good golf and hopefully winning some elite amateur event. Like the higher amateur events would be great. Put my name up those and hopefully just building up to a certain point that by the time I graduate, I can turn professional and put a mark on the professional game. But until then, just working hard day by day, and that's my goal.
I love it. I got asked it with the backup plan. Have you chosen a major yet?
Yeah. Thinking of majoring in econ.
Okay.
Econ's a pretty big major at Duke. One of the the more famous majors at Duke, I guess. So doing that, and hopefully it'll be a good backup plan.
Yeah. Well, you're smarter than I am if you're majoring in economics at Duke. So before I let you go, yesterday I went out to longest day in golf, U.S. Open sectional qualifying at Woodmont, which you took part in last year, because I remember watching a couple old. Obviously, I imagine a huge relief not having to do that again. But what do you remember from last year, trying to get into the U.S. Open the hard way? Where I guess
that's
I mean,
right.
What you did is the hard way, a different way.
Yeah. It was a long day for sure. Woodmont's always a great track to go play. I can go out to Woodmont. I would take it. I actually went out there today, played the North course, same pins. So it was pretty cool to see. But I remember just being really tired that second 18, just like I had shot even the first round last year. Was kind of in contention to make the cut, but just kind of got a little fatigued on the second 18 and kind of fell out of the mix. But it was a lot of fun, and like, it was cool. I think it's like one of the cooler things, in amateur golf and like all in golf, just like being able to play with like alongside in the same field as like Mark Leishman or some of the pros, and I guess this year, like Adam Scott played in it. It's always like, you can't always say that you played in the same field as Adam Scott or a professional golfer that you see on TV every day. But I remember in my group, I was playing with, a guy that actually got through, Michael Brennan. So sure. I thought that was pretty cool to watch. Yeah. Longest day in golf is
Wake Forest guy, right?
Something really cool. That's right. Yeah. Just graduated. Really cool guy.
Now you're a Duke golfer, you're a US junior winner. When you do come home, like you just said, you played Woodmont. You said you played Woodmont today?
I did, yeah.
Today. Are you still a member at Argyle?
I am, yeah.
Still a member at Argyle. Like, you're a known entity now. Can you kind of get on wherever you want?
I haven't been home long enough to do that, but like I played with a member out there at Woodmont today, but I mean, I can always go play with Argyle whenever I want. I haven't tested my luck out.
Sure. I'm sure. Couple phone calls. What about your time at Sherwood? What was your home course? And just what are some other courses in the area that you're fond of?
Right. Never really had a home course for Sherwood golf, but I guess we played Hampshire Greens a good bit. Kind of right down
you guys,
the road.
You guys didn't have like a practice Northwest. Course
would be Hampshire Greens. Yeah. We would do our, like, we would have our qualifying at Hampshire Greens and we'd go to Northwest. We'd kind of cycle around the MCG courses. We would play Argyle a good bit just cause like a good amount of the guys were members there. But, yeah, we would just go play nine holes at Hampshire Greens from 3,000 yards and hit some shots here and there. It was a good time. Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts too? So I've been doing this thing on Instagram where I use drone video and I take some drone video of a specific hole, and it's usually a public golf hole around the DMV.
Okay.
And I basically say, it's usually kind of either a cool or funky hole, but I kind of say, love it. Or do you love this hole or do you hate this hole? And people in the comments can say they love it. And one of the ones that I've gotten a request of like, do this one next is number two at Hampshire Greens. So give me your take on number two at Hampshire Green.
Okay. I only have memories from playing it from the white tees, but it would definitely get some kids during the qualifying round. That's for sure. It's a good hole. I don't mind it. Yeah. It's a good risk reward. But maybe I have to go back out there to refresh my memory. We'll see.
Sure. Okay. Well, listen, I won't keep you. This has been a lot of fun, man. It's always cool to have a guy from our area not only win big things, but now go on to bigger and better things and playing the US Open at age 19. Sorry, you said 18 or 19?
19 now.
19, but whatever. You're a teenager. You're playing the US Open as a teenager. It is just totally insane. So you're gonna have a lot of guys back here, men and women, cheering for you, man. And I hope you have a great week. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. This is really cool. Good to chat with you. Good to meet you, and good luck next week.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me.
I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about DC golf.